RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! So, we had a big day on Wednesday, a big day last night, or a big night on Wednesday and a big night last night, and I was hoping...
You've had a big week?
Yes, it has been very, very busy and very inspiring and awesome and all the things. So... Wednesday evening, General Flynn came to speak at our event in Aner, South Carolina, and it was something else. It was surreal. We first met and, you know, we had all our family there, like my whole family was there and got to meet General Flynn for the first time in person. And it was really, he was really kind and generous and amazing. And then he was like, let's go out and talk to the people. And we had probably a little over 600 people there. And he went around for 2 hours and took pictures with everyone and talked to everyone there.
Everything I saw was really, really wonderful. He's on stage with you holding your hand. I mean, what an endorsement.
Oh, my gosh. This is like, I went up there and I told, like, I basically told my story and why, you know, why I'm doing this and whatever. And I kept it to a quick 15 minutes or so. And why I'm running for this position and why I feel like I'll do a good job at it and what it means and why it's important. And I went to walk off the stage and he said, no. You stay right here with me. And then like somewhere throughout the middle, I was like, should I go? And he's like, no, you stay right here with me. So I said, yes, sir. And I saluted. And then he's like, hold my hand. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay. It was something. It was so humbling. It really was.
Imagine when he said, hold my hand. You guys started floating.
Mm-hmm.
You started levitating in the air. Like it was the end of Sleeping Beauty.
He
and
said,
your dress started changing colors.
Yeah. And it was like magic everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was something. I think I have a clip here that I will share on the podcast real quick of something that he said. He is just the most inspiring man. He's amazing. I mean, there's no other word for it. I never imagined he's just ever, you know, I said in my little spiel that I really tried hard to find something wrong with him, because I did try hard to find something wrong with him. I researched the heck out of him and I talked to so many people and I said, there's got to be something off here for this to be happening. There's, you know, in the beginning, before we were so wise to everything going on. And I was like, there's nothing. I mean, he's just a good, loyal patriot. He is everything that people in this country should. He's so kind. And I hate to sound like I'm you know, but I'm just being honest. Like it really was something else. It really was. Let me see here. Hold on. I got to find this little clip. I think I'm going to post the speech that I gave and he gave on my YouTube channel today, because it was really a great, it was just great. And his was, I'm not talking about mine.
I saw was really great.
Yeah, it was, he said, if you don't like the person that picks up your dog, run for dog catcher. You know, get involved in your community. He says 3,001 counties in the United States of America. We just need people in their counties to do the right thing. And he told the story of a school in Florida that was imposing the mask mandate still on, you know, on its people, on the kids. And he's like, they didn't bring, you know, 2 people or 10 people. They brought 3,000 people down there to stop this. And at the end of the meeting, 2 council members ended up leaving. They quit. They were removed because the people said, we're done with you.
They actually resigned on the spot?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Because this is what the left does. And I keep saying to people, like last night, before I play this clip, last night I spoke at an event that a lot of people here would consider the quote other side, the warring faction that's trying to maintain control of the party. And they announced they were going to have this event and kind of like, you know, one of the people made an offhanded remark. Yeah, everyone will be there except those three candidates because they've slated three of us together that are like kind of running against the quote establishment. And so I found out that that was said because there's a lot of people inside that group that are of the mindset that things need to change and they, you know, pass information back and forth.
Right.
And so I just reached out to the person holding the event and I said, hey, you know, I heard you guys are having an event. Can I come and speak at it? Because it was for all the candidates to speak. And she said yes. And so the other two folks followed suit and we were all there last night and we did our little spiel. And I got to be honest, you know, a good part of it, the question and answer portion was interesting because one of the people said, do you support Donald Trump? And I said, absolutely, yes. And then she said, do you support all of his endorsements? And I said, actually, you know, I don't think, you know, he's made all the best endorsements. And I explained why and the gasps from the crowd. Like, yeah. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to pause it real quick.
Dangerous.
All right. So I usually don't do this, but to bring people into the process of what this is like, I think this might be beneficial. So I've given my little 5-minute spiel on why I think I'm a good choice and all that stuff. And now it's a question and answer period for people in the audience. And the first question was, do you want to just hear all the questions I got?
Hey, sure. Whatever you'd like.
Hold on. I got to find that now. All right. So first question.
Living here 6 years, tell us what you've done in that 6 years. That
has,
what work have you done within the party?
Within the party, I've been more nationally focused, to be honest. Back in the early days when I was a person activist, I was very locally focused. As a matter of fact, I was one of the people that helped get Lee Zeldin elected on Long Island. But I went into media and had an activism career on the side, and I focused on national campaigns more than I did in my backyard, which I've learned is just a very big mistake. I'm a huge asset that has not been being used properly. I did try to get involved here locally, but was met with stonewall, and I'm just being honest, that's just what happened. So now, this go around, thankfully, there's a lot more of an open sort of feeling for new people to come in and really get involved with what's going on.
That was question one. Here's question two.
I don't have a question. I just want to say I was there last night, and I was so proud of you.
Thanks.
Your whole story. I know that was hard to get up and talk to all those people, but you did a fabulous job.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yes, do you support Donald Trump?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And you support who he endorses?
I do for the most part. Honestly, I'm just going to be honest, I don't agree with all his endorsements. He just endorsed Marco Rubio. He endorsed Lindsey Graham. I'm not a big fan. So most of the people he's endorsed have been great. But I mean, the judge who endorsed Tim Scott, and Tim Scott denied there was any election interference. So I understand strategic endorsements and I support the president. That doesn't mean that I have to, you know, be a hive mind with him. I will obviously.
That's basically the answer. There's not much more after that. But you hear the gasps in the crowd, like, oh.
I don't know why being wishy-washy on whether or not you think Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio should be supported is ridiculous, especially when you already don't even have the Senate.
Yeah.
You don't even have a majority in the Senate anymore. It's not even like you're being strategic saying, well, better them than Doug Jones or something like that. It's like you don't even have this is like playing with house money at this point.
Yeah.
Be bold. This is the best time to tell people they are wolves in sheep clothing.
Well, I had a couple of different interactions after this because I was the last person to speak. So after this, I had a bunch of people come up to me wanting to just get, you know, more of my perspective on things. And one of the people that came up to me jumped in front of me very, very agitated and told me, you'll have to excuse me, but I'm very angry right now. And I said, okay. And she said, my son works for Tim Scott and he's a good man. And I don't think we should be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I said to her, I said, that's fine. Perhaps you could ask Tim Scott why it is he denied there was any election interference and in the same breath said he was forming a commission to investigate election interference after Joe Biden was sworn in.
Yeah.
And she was just well, it's not his, you know, South Carolina didn't have any election fraud. I said, no. You haven't investigated South Carolina for election fraud because, quote, we won.
Exactly. Who knows by how much you actually did win?
Right.
That's the whole point here. Who knows what blue state is really purple? What purple state is what is really deep red? You just don't know. And Tim Scott is a senator in the United States Senate. So he is, he's representing the state in the Senate. But he is, I think a national election should be a little bit more his domain than anybody.
Right. And I said to her, I said, that's fine if that's the position that Tim Scott is taking. Don't say anything. Why in the world would you give credence to an argument that the enemy is advancing on the battlefield by making a statement like that? You should have just said nothing.
Well, it's either say nothing or just pick one or the other. If you think there was no election interference, say that and stick to it. But don't speak out of both sides of your mouth trying to placate both sides by keeping yourself out of the crosshairs nationally and then also starting useless committees after the fact.
Right. And then she said to me, which I thought was a very interesting strategic move on her part, well, I've been in the CIA for 20 years.
Oh, boy.
And I just retired. And you don't spend 20 years in the CIA to walk away from your country. I said, hold on a second. I said, no. And then she said, and nobody was able to prove this fraud. And I said, nobody had any evidence. I said, hold on a second. No. I said, there was plenty of evidence. Nobody was able to get a court to have the guts to hear it. And I said, and I understand that what I'm saying to you right now will likely cause you not to vote for me. And that's okay. But she said then, there's some congressman from Texas that went on the media and said that there was a server in Germany. There was no server in Germany. I said, hold on a second. He didn't go on the media. That was a leaked Zoom call that he had with 30 other people that somebody leaked out. It was Louie Gohmert. I told her exactly who it was. I told her the date. And I said, you don't know. Do you know that he didn't have credible information that there was no server? And I said, that Siddle stuff didn't make it into any court documents as far as I know. None of the attorneys that were working on behalf of the American people on election integrity used that in their petitions. So what's the argument there? And then by the end of it, which was about a 10-minute long debate, she said, well, I'm going to ask my son to ask Tim Scott if maybe he said that by accident. And I said, well, listen, if he said it by accident and he'll issue a retraction and apology, then I might reconsider my position. But then she started saying, you know, I held my nose and I voted for Lindsey Graham. And I said, hey, listen, that's why we do not move forward, because people hold their nose and vote instead of working to get good candidates into office that we don't have to hold our nose for.
That's what I'm talking about. You think about states like Utah. I mean, when you have, especially states where you know that at least for the time being, you have a secure majority of what could be categorized as conservative voters. Why are you wasting your consent on people like Mitt Romney when you can literally put anybody you want into the Senate? Why are you playing it safe? And it's not even safe. It's counterproductive. Yeah. You know, so I don't get that at all. But then again, you know, just people are the way they are.
So there's another one if you want to hear. I don't know if this is entertaining for folks or not, but the next one that I got was a couple that came up to me and they were very nice. And the gentleman said, I needed to give you some constructive criticism. And I said, absolutely. And he said, you used some words that you probably shouldn't use when you're talking to Republicans. So I said, oh, I did? Okay, what were they? And he went on to tell me that in my interview that I did, because I did an interview with, they have like a campaign committee that gets the candidates that are running. They do interviews with them and put them up on the Facebook page so that people can see what they're all about and stuff. And I did this interview and I talked about, you know, my history in the Republican Party and what I've done. And he goes, you said you were a progressive activist. Frank, would I ever say I was a progressive activist?
I've never heard you say it to me.
I would never.
So where did he hear you say it then?
I pressured him on it. I said, whoa, where did you hear that? When did I say that? And he's like, oh, in your interview. And his wife was like, she didn't say that. And he was like, well, maybe I said, I would never use the word progressive unless it was a pejorative.
I won't even get progressive car insurance.
Right.
Because it has a name in it.
Screw those people. So then he let that go and he said, well, maybe it was just that you said the word activist. And Republicans aren't activists. We really kind of like to stay on the sidelines.
You're right. You're inactivists.
And you're voting for
people to play it safe. You're right. You're inactivists.
I said, that is precisely correct. And look where it's gotten us. I said, and he said, you know, the left uses that word and it's associated with. And I said, I don't care. Why are we allowing the left to have power over what words we choose?
See, this is what we do on a number of things. We go into these purity spirals.
Yep.
Where we get caught up in the, it's just the minutiae. It's ridiculous. And it all acts as reasons to not do something constructive.
Are you exercising again?
I'm doing a number of things. Yeah.
I knew it. So,
well, I mean, it's keeping me really concentrated because I need to listen to your voice to be able to not collapse on the floor. I'm sitting in horse stance. I've been sitting in horse stance for 18 minutes now.
Oh my God. So I'll keep talking then. So I, you know, I said, you know, we need to stop letting the legacy media and Democrats decide what words it's okay for us to use or not use. Or I said I have been an activist for 20 years working to advance conservative ideals. Why is this a negative? Why is this something that we should shun? I said, so, and he's like, you know what? You're right. You're right. And I said, good. So you're going to become an activist now with me?
Yes. Did he say yes?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah. Yeah. I say I will. And I said, that's fantastic. And I went to give him a little hug. And he said, I'm on the canvassing committee, so I'm not allowed to be seen as supporting you, but you've got my vote.
Oh, good. See? There you go.
So then we left. But I wanted to just play quickly this clip of General Flynn at this event the other night. And I know this is taking up a good portion of the podcast, but you know what? This is important. And if we can do this in South Carolina, like Georgia did, by the way, Georgia did this, then we're going to be in really good shape for the future with the Republican Party and making sure that we do the right thing. That's all that we care about. Here is General Flynn with some wind. Here, listen to this. This is something else. It's like a soundbite I will save forever.
My grandfather's, my son is coming back from Korea after 3.5 years. He comes back next month. I have a brother who's about to get his 4-star pinned on him. So when I stand up here with a strong woman, it means something because it is about a woman. Because I do talk about women in this country. The demographics in this country have shifted tremendously. And this is what we need right here. We need champions for women. We need, because she is a businesswoman. She is a mother. She is a caregiver. She is somebody who has stepped up in her community. Yep. Despite how many years that she's been here, or whether or not she went to grade school here or not, she is stepping up for this community. Why? Because she believes in this country. Yeah. Woo! That's your place to be.
Can you believe it? Yeah, and he was holding my hand the whole time. What an honor. My goodness.
Nobody ever holds my hand.
When you come to visit, Frank, I will hold your hand for you.
The baby doesn't even get mad when I walk out of the room. It's only when Lauren walks out of the room. She goes,
that's normal. That's normal. Yeah. That'll change.
So I'm just like, what am I? She's sitting on my lap and she's crying. Like, what? You're with me.
Be happy, Frank, because very soon she is going to be attached to your leg and never leave.
Oh.
This will happen when she's 3 or so.
Now that's going to be cute.
It's adorable. Girls will migrate to their good daddies when they're about 2 or 3, and they will cling on to you. This is what Viviana used to do with Will.
Oh, this is going to be so cute. I can't wait.
Yep. Yep. It's going to happen. I'm telling you. So all in all, we'll just say tonight, a surprise event was thrown out there. Lynn Wood is having a big rally here in our town. And I think I'm going to go and attend that just to see what all piles out of that thing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Tons of people are going to this.
South Carolina is getting fortified.
Seems so. Seems so. So I'm going to go to that tonight. And then tomorrow is the convention where the votes are happening. And I get another opportunity to speak with everybody and just reaffirm what I'm going to do for them if they vote me as their executive committee woman for the county of Horry in South Carolina. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Monday, I hope I have good news. Like, yes, I won. And yes, I'm going to be doing this.
Monday can't come fast enough.
Well, you'll know before Monday. And so will the room. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. When will you know? Like Saturday or Sunday?
I will know Saturday. And the interesting thing is, this is the way it goes. So let's pretend we have like something like five or almost 600 delegates, where last year, last reorg, we only had like 200. So there are 400 more people organized for this reorganization than that. This is a record in the county. Never been so many people. And you have to have a quorum to be able to win. So if there are 600 people voting, I need 301.
Okay.
So the way it goes is rounds. So if I don't get a quorum the first go round, they vote again if there's no quorum. So if another candidate gets 301, it's over. But if we all split the vote four ways, because there's three other candidates running, then, you know, that's how we just keep voting until there isn't a quorum anymore. So it could go most of the day. And what usually happens is people get tired of waiting there and they leave. And then the numbers all get reset because there's a different amount of people there voting and it just ends up taking longer. So I'm like trying to, I don't think any of the quote us that will be there, the new 400, are going to leave because we know what's at stake.
Right.
And then there's two other candidates that they have grouped, you know, together. It's Roger Slagle and Jeremy Halpin. Jeremy Halpin ran for city council here last year. And he sadly didn't win, but there was fraud in his election, which is why anybody that says there was no voter fraud is just out of their minds. And then Roger Slagle is a businessman who is running for chair against some really one of the chairmen that's running is kind of on the quote other side. And he came to the event with General Flynn and he said what a great event it was. And then at the end of this little Q&A, he said, "Who did you stand up there with on that stage the other night?" And I said, "General Michael Flynn," and the whole room started clapping outside of the people who did anything and everything they could to make this event a failure. And they failed miserably. The press on it has been incredible. We had an article come out in the Sun News today that is absolutely amazing. And they are not friendly. So just saying. But hopefully we pull it off.
I think that you have great chance.
Never want to get too confident. But I
think no, you don't. Too. No, you don't. But you just go out there, you put your best foot forward, and hopefully everything works out and sanity prevails.
Yes. Yes, yes. So outside of all that, would you like to speak about this new vaccine thing that's happening to people? It's all anecdotal. I don't have any documented research or anything like that, but I have a clip of a woman, a nurse, who's doing a website about all this.
Oh, are you talking about the menstrual problems and all that? For the unvaccinated, too.
Right. So you want to listen to a bit of this?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Being around people who have had the, we'll call it vax, are now experiencing severe symptoms. This is from shedding off of the spike proteins. You can go to my website and there are informational videos on there that explain the whole process of what's happening and why this is happening to women. There's a woman giving out the warning about this and many, many people who have reached out to me and given me countless, I don't even want to call it testimonials, but told me their own personal stories. There are women and men who have come into close proximity of people who have had the vaccination. And once they do this, these people are, a lot of people want to call it shedding, but when people think of shedding, they're thinking shedding off of when you get the weakened viral vaxes, But that's not what this is. This is gene therapy that's causing your body to make these spike proteins. This is the mRNA gene therapy. This is an grand human experimentation. This is not anything that's ever been done before. It is, in fact, altering the human makeup of the body. So what's happening is that process starts in the human body and doesn't stop. It's coming out in their breath. It's coming out through their pores. So spike proteins, what they're finding is dangerous to human tissue. This is what's causing reproductive problems in people. This is what's causing, you know, the sterilization of people. Women who have come in contact with, and men, I have men too, who have come in contact with people who have had this Bax, and I'm saying it this way so I don't take my video down, have suddenly become covered in strange bruises. Women have had, as young as 10-year-olds starting their periods early.
See, it gets very graphic.
Yeah, I know, and it's there's also plenty of testimony of postmenopausal women.
Yep.
Also bleeding,
which is usually a sign of cancer. If a postmenopausal woman starts their menstrual cycle again, it's usually a sign of cancer in most cases. This doesn't seem to be the case with this. It seems to be a hormonal issue. It's somehow affecting people's hormones. And you know, look, now we have to worry about all these people walking around who are vaccinated and then them hurting people that they come into contact. This is...
Tracy, this is why I said it, and it wasn't a joke when I said it. You know, people want to... Did you get your vaccine yet? I don't know if I want to be around you if you haven't been vaccinated. No, it's really the opposite. I have no clue what's going on inside of you right now. And it's not just so much about what's going to happen to you in the months and the years to come. It's what's going to happen to the people, or who knows what you're incubating. It's not a joke. It's a fun, it's a snappy, witty little comeback, but it's also, there's a lot of truth in there. You just don't know what these people are incubating.
I have to tell you that, you know, if she's saying that it's causing people to have migraine headaches that are in a house with other people, she said, and again, I'm just telling everybody from my personal standpoint, this is anecdotal because I don't have, I'm going to listen to this real quick and grab her website because she says it really fast. But they're saying that somebody said their dog died, like right after this happened. If this stuff, because they're doing studies now, this is Legacy Media is reporting on this, that they're doing studies to figure out why it's affecting a woman's menstrual cycle the way it is. And with all the blood issues that we've got going on and, it, you know, the supposed six, which is a crock, was way more than six people. Come on.
There's no reason why. There's no reason why anything would be halted on this kind of a national or global scale.
For six.
For six people. Six people out of 7 million. There's no way in hell.
No.
I that's another really weak stance that President Trump took on all that by saying, I can't believe they stopped it after six. He was talking about how it was such a strategic failure to put a halt to the whole vaccination process because of six people and 7 million. Like, is that really your take? Anybody, for them to put a halt to it means that it's much more than six out of 7 million, or they found signs of something even more devious.
Yeah, which they won't tell you. I know.
My God.
Hey, before we go on today with the rest of this that I wanted to talk about, we have a new sponsor on the show.
Wowee.
They're fantastic. We had a conversation with these guys. Well, I did anyway. Really, really great company, by the way. You know what feels great, Frank?
What?
Paying off debt, high interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, saving money. You can actually refinance your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with an auto pay and excellent credit. It's actually lower than the average credit card rate of over 18% APR. And during the pandemic, a lot of people were forced to migrate over to their credit cards to kind of fund. And now they're paying some exorbitant interest rate. And a lot of them have great credit, but they're just stuck paying these interest rates because the cards don't really offer low interest rates to people anymore. Because why? Why? Right? So... Mm-hmm. There are no fees with this. You can get your money as soon as the day you apply. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and it's exactly what they deliver. So just for our listeners, you can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/darktolight. That's lightstream.com/darktolight. And of course, this is subject to credit approval. Rates will range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/darktolight for more information. Thank you, Lightstream.
There's nothing better than there's nothing better you can do for yourself, especially right now, than getting out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Put all of your attention, or every bit of effort you can, live on a shoestring budget. The only thing you should be thinking about is getting out of debt, because there's going to be plenty of resets coming, no matter what. The real question is, who's reset? And everybody should just be going into this new future as free as they can be. And this is one way to do that.
Yeah. And if you can consolidate everything down into one easy monthly thing, or even maybe you just want to go on vacation and you don't want to pull cash. Who knows? Whatever your case may be, they're a really great company to work with. And the process is super easy. So go have at it. Go have at it. Do you mind? I know we've done this a lot. Okay, so I'm at her website, and she says that there are stories. It's truthunmasked.org. It's an interesting website. We'll just say that. Now, what we've started to get are a lot of legislators now saying, you know, there's all this conflicting information coming out about mask use and whether or not it's actually effective. And finally,
was that NIH link real?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
It is, I mean, it's pretty comprehensive breakdown of the inefficiencies of, let me see here, because I was looking through it and making highlights, but there's something tells me it's just too honest for it to be a real release from any kind of a government agency.
Oh, let me see.
I have a bunch of stuff already highlighted in this, and I really, it's just so honest that I don't think, I couldn't believe that it's actually from the NIH.
Well, let's
so
see what this is. What is NCBI?
NCBI.
Because that's the domain it's hosted on. National Center for Biotechnology Information.
NLM.NIH.gov. It's a .gov, too. Can you get a .gov without actually being a government organization? Is it legal?
No. And you know what the crazy thing is that first thing on Google here is NCBI a reliable source? And you push down because it's under the questions. And it's like, the databases at NCBI will definitely contain errors as the data comes from various sources. And most of the databases are marginally curated. But that holds true for all big databases without manual curation. And even though
there's their excuse as to denying everything in this, because it's listen to this. Yeah.
Is NCBI a government website? The National Center for Biotechnology Information is part of the U.S. National Library of Medicine, a branch of the National Institute of Health. It is approved and funded by the government of the United States.
Okay. So then there you have it. Now, the hypothesis, as of October 1st, 2021, worldwide, 34 million cases were reported of COVID-19, and 1 million have died with virus diagnosis. That's the key, with virus diagnosis. Increasingly, 99% of the detected cases with SARS-CoV-2 are asymptomatic or have mild condition, which contradicts with the virus name, severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. Although infection fatality rate, number of death cases divided by number of reported cases, initially seemed quite high of 2.9%. This overestimation related to limited number of COVID-19 tests performed, which biases toward higher rates. Given the fact that asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic cases is several times higher than the number of reported cases, the case fatality rate is considerably less than 1%. This was confirmed by the head of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases from U.S. stating, quote, the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 are similar to those of a severe seasonal influenza, having a fatal a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%. Hmm. Then it goes on over into the efficacy of face masks. The physical properties of medical and non-medical face masks suggest that face masks are ineffective to block viral particles due to their difference in scales. Due to the difference in sizes between SARS-CoV-2 diameter and face mask thread diameter, the virus is 1,000 times smaller. SARS-CoV-2 can easily pass through any face mask. In addition, the efficiency filtration rate of face masks is poor, ranging from 0.7% in non-surgical cotton gauze woven masks to 26% in cotton sweater material. With respect to surgical and N95 medical face masks, the efficiency filtration rate falls from 15% and 58%, respectively, when even small gap between the face masks exists. Because they're talking about how it's not even enough to put on the N95. It has to be perfectly sealed around your face.
Yeah.
This goes on for, you know, I'll read you the conclusion, but it goes on for several paragraphs. It goes into polyester and what's real and what isn't. The whole thing is damning. Here's the conclusion. The existing scientific evidences challenge the safety and efficacy of wearing face masks as preventative intervention for COVID-19. The data suggests that both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to block human-to-human transmission of viral and infectious disease such as SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, supporting against the usage of face masks. Wearing face masks have been demonstrated to have substantial adverse psychological and physiological effects. These include hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased acidity and toxicity, activation of fear and stress response, rise in stress hormones, immunosuppression, fatigue, headache, pretty much all the symptoms of having the flu. Fatigue, headache, decline in cognitive performance, predisposition for viral and infectious illnesses, chronic stress, anxiety, and depression. Long-term consequences of wearing face masks can cause health deterioration, developing and progression of chronic diseases, and premature death. Mm. Governments, policymakers, and health organizations should utilize proper. It's a typo there.
Probably was done by a different country and it's translated.
Utilize proper and scientific evidence-based approach with respect to wearing face masks when the latter is considered as preventative intervention for public health.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going to say now? Fauci. And look at the references at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are 67 of them.
Yeah, it's certainly not Lad Bible.
What is
it's
that?
It's not brobible.com.
Oh.
It's not collegehumor.com.
Does that still exist?
Yeah, probably. It's got to be a let me see. Collegehumor.com. Oh, collegehumor.com takes me right to their YouTube channel. They forwarded it to their YouTube channel.
Well, see, they're smart. Look at that.
Yeah, well, there's nobody's going to websites anymore.
I wanted to talk about this, Frank. Quote, I didn't want to go through the rioting. Juror in Chauvin trial makes stunning admission about guilty verdict.
Of course.
Like, it's not a surprise, but we've got clips of her.
Of course. What are people thinking? This is the mob is everything now.
On Tuesday, a jury found Derek Chauvin guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter in a case that sparked nationwide riots, the death of George Floyd. During the course of the trial, Judge Peter Cahill mentioned that the court case was getting dangerously close to mistrial. A new interview with an alternate juror named Lisa Christensen, who lives in Brooklyn Center, provides new insights into the courtroom dynamics. I just had a fascinating sit-down interview with one of the alternate jurors in the Derek Chauvin trial. Said a reporter. Lisa Christensen was the juror who lived in Brooklyn Center. One night she could hardly make it home after testimony ended because of protesters blocking intersections. Here.
He actually had us demonstrate. We were all in the jury and we all were touching our necks, the front of our necks, the back of our necks, as he was saying, and we could feel what he was trying to make us feel. So that was interesting. And then I guess what really did it was when he said, right here at this point is where he had that seizure, and this is where he died. So that's exactly what it was for me.
That was one of the things that she says convinced her that it was murder, which is nonsense. Christensen, well, she went home every night and took additional notes about how each witness testified. When he turned and said, number 96, you're an alternate. Yeah, my heart broke a little bit, she said. Here's the part where we begin to get a better picture of the immense pressure these jurors were under to deliver a guilty verdict. This was shocking to me, but Christensen told me she and the other jurors didn't even share their real names and occupations with each other, just calling each other by juror number. Got along, but mostly made small talk, concerned about saying too much. Christensen outright admitted that jury intimidation played a major part in the trial. So it's going to be retried for sure. There's no way this is going to stand.
Yeah, well, that's if he's not killed right from now until then.
They already had an incident. So there's that. And then
animals.
Frank, I mean, I would love to say that I was surprised, but I'm not.
Well, I knew that they were going to give him something. Like I said before, I'm not even convinced, and I haven't followed it that much. Who knows? I mean, he's probably negligence, something like that. You knew he was going to get something, and in another time, it might have been a foregone conclusion either way that he was going to get some jail time, some kind of repercussions thrown down on him. But as far as what it became now and what it needed to be, obviously what it needed to be, this is just a product of the times we're living in.
It's so terrifying, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, the verdict was a product of the times. It was compelled action. It was ideological in nature. It was compelled. It had nothing to do with evidentiary process of any kind.
From there, we're going to move on real quick to the Arizona audit. The Democrats in Arizona, the Arizona Democrat Party, filed a temporary restraining order yesterday to prohibit Karen Fan and the audit team from proceeding with the audit of the 2020 election.
Boy, they sure are scared of winning again, aren't they?
I mean, I know. Shouldn't they? I mean, it's crazy what's going on here.
I would say, oh, good. We're going to win again.
Yeah.
We're going to win again. It was so legitimate. I can't wait to win again in Arizona. No, they're pretty scared of another opportunity to shove a victory into Republicans' faces. They're pretty scared.
They're terrified of it. And the thing here is this lawsuit, it what did we say immediately when the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors would not allow them to do the audit where the ballots actually lived? They were going to say, you know, chain of custody issues. If there were missing ballots, they were going to say that they were lost in transit. And of course, what is this lawsuit alleging? They have no good chain of custody procedure that they're going to follow. They have, you know, it's all kinds of nonsense about that. You know, the people running the audit are promoters of the, quote, stop the steal movement, and they're biased, and, you know, There are no policy and procedures for ensuring a secure and documented chain of custody for the ballots and election equipment. Policy and procedures for ensuring the physical security of the ballots and the physical data and cybersecurity of election equipment so that they are not tampered with, stolen, mishandled, or compromised. There's no policy and procedure for ensuring the markings on the ballots are not altered or added when in defendant's custody. There are no policy and procedures for ensuring the handling, inspection, and counting of the ballots and equipment performed by bipartisan teams. Like, when does that ever matter to you, you stupid?
Yeah.
In addition, defendants have not publicly disclosed any policies or training materials relating to the audit's procedures. They have not publicly disclosed any information about the staff who will conduct the audit, including the number of workers, their credentials, their political party affiliations, or the training they've received. The audit workers who perform signature comparison are planning to use voter registration records, including the voter signature, date of birth, address, and political party affiliation, and other personally identifying information. They will also are not trained in signature comparison or verification techniques. And all of this untrained work will not be subject to meaningful observation procedures. Defendant Bennett has stated that observers will be allowed to observe the audit, but only for 6-hour shifts at a time. Tellingly, he has also rejected observation requests from various, quote, nonpartisan nonprofit organizations that exist to ensure open and transparent elections, including the Elections Group, which is a Democrat front group. These people are just sick and twisted. I really hope the judge dismisses this. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so, too. I really do.
There is no evidence that CN's unknown, unidentified agents have been appointed in writing or have taken the oath required by EPM, meaning they're not authorized to touch any ballot computer accounting device. Relatedly, the EPM requires, quote, that staff... You know who I'm talking about, the EPM.
Yeah, yeah. But, I just laugh at the idea of an oath.
Yeah, you have to take an oath to be able to do an election audit, when meanwhile, these representatives have all taken an oath to the Constitution that they spit all over every single day. Anyway, sorry.
You know, we've really been through the ringer together, Tracy.
We have, haven't we?
Not all the way through yet.
Will we ever be all the way through?
No. No, once you get on the other side, you start getting sucked back the other way in. You go through the ringer, then you get soaked again, and then you go through the ringer the other way.
Yeah.
And along the way, you just get a little bit more worn and a little bit more used to it, and you find some good humor, and hopefully there's a, I don't know, there's a, you have some good company along the way. Now, what we're going through right now is a little more severe, because this is just like the death throes of a system that is, it's on its way out one way or another. So it's frustrating. I always try to remind myself it's frustrating to see this inanity. But at the same time, what are they going to do? Rule over a pile of ashes with fake money that's going nowhere? You see inflation is already starting to be felt in things like food. In certain parts of the country, it's creeping on in, creeping on in. Did you see there was a Earth Day or a global warming and climate change Zoom call with all these international leaders, and Joe Biden was the only one with a mask on?
Yeah,
on a Zoom call.
Moron.
What a loser! What a loser!
I mean, he's in a room by himself wearing a freaking mask.
It's probably because it's not him.
That's so funny that you say that, because that's exactly what a family member of mine said.
Listen, Occam's razor at this point. You got this guy whose entire campaign was managed through digital chicanery and trickery and the edited video editing department at CNN, and of course having this gigantic mask across his face. And now you got an entire world that is doing business by Zoom, and he's obviously not up to the task of what the office demands, because he's sending that Harridan around taking calls for him. So she doesn't even.
What does she even do?
Oh, she's so over her head.
Oh my gosh.
So in over her head, it's not even funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. I saw that. I also saw there was something else that I wanted to mention to you. Oh yeah, here it is. It just came through on the library. Biden is sitting in his little square, just wearing his mask, and everyone else is like. Then we had another thing come out. Mask mandates for children mostly harmful. Professor of medicine, The True Reporter. Did you see that video of the woman
from Georgia?
Yeah. Do you want to play that before we end today?
Yeah, you can play it.
I'm gonna pull it. It's in my list of things we may talk about today. Here we go.
Every month I come here and I hear the same thing: social emotional health. If you truly mean that, you would end the mask requirement tonight. Tonight. This is not March 2020 anymore. We have 3 vaccines. Every adult in the state of Georgia that wants that vaccine is eligible to get it right now. And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5- and 6-year-olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7- and 8-year-olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. My six-year-old looks at me every month before I come here. She says, are you going to tell them tonight? Tell them I don't want to wear this anymore. And I say, baby, it's not time to fight that battle yet. I try to explain that there's so many things. But it's April 15th, 2021, and it's time. Take these masks off of my child. And I know what I'm going to be met with. But Ms. Taylor, the CDC, we did not vote for people at the CDC. We did elect leaders who do create policy. We elected the five of you. We chose you to make difficult decisions for our children. We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, and forcing 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9-year-old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children. My six-year-old can't come up here and say this. It has to stop. Take these off of our children.
You know, I loved her speech. I loved it. I thought it was great. But I think that she's still giving too much power to these people.
That's what it is. When I listened to it, so it's got to stop. Or even when she just said, it's not time for that fight yet. No, it is. And it's a very impassioned speech. She's spot on with everything.
Yep.
But it is time to show these people that they are representatives. They have been. They are given delegated representative powers. Delegated, which means that these are powers that are inherent, that are possessed solely by people that they serve, not people that they govern.
You know, it's funny because, yes, you know, at the speech that General Flynn gave, he said, stop calling them elected officials and start calling them elected employees.
That's it. It's not suddenly that they are above you and they have been empowered with some kind of omniscience. The people who run are in the position of running my town. I know a good portion of them. They're fucking morons. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Morons. Okay? So just always remember, you are delegating specific responsibilities to people. This is not a coronation.
No.
They need to just be put in their place, that they are not actually above. They are just I don't know.
She just says, take these masks off our children, what she should be doing right now. And if I could give her any bit, she's not alone. Clearly, the entire place is cheering along with her. And I'm sure that they all have kids. Get together get a majority of people, get them together and send your kids to school with no masks and have them dismiss the whole school for the day. Just start disobeying. Start doing it now. You've tried, Georgia mom, who's so impassioned and passionate and wonderful, and I love her. You've tried every month to talk to these people. They don't listen. It's time to take the power into your own hands and do what you think is right here, which is clearly backed by science. General Flynn spent a while talking to my kids about all this, the plexiglass boxes, the masks on their faces.
That was disturbing to me to see those plexiglass boxes footage coming out of South Carolina, because I'm like, oh, crap.
It's funny.
If I do have to move, where the hell am I going?
Well, listen, we've got good news coming around the corner. They're removing all the plexiglass.
Nice.
It's coming down. So there's that. And then number two, I talked to a guy who is running for Tom Rice's seat, who is also the chairman of the school board here in my county. And I said to him, I said, what you're doing with these plexiglass boxes, I understand the dichotomy here in parents who are not wanting to send their kids to school unless there are the plexiglass. I understand that what they're dealing with is very overwhelming, and I don't envy their position, Frank. I really don't. Honestly, I'm being honest. They've got parents probably split 60-40, 60% anti-plexiglass, 40% pro-plexiglass. But the pro plexiglass side are obviously the ones who are disruptive and unruly. And you know, they're not, they're the ones that we should be.
You're insane.
Yes, we should be insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. I was actually talking about this there too, and I know what you mean. When it comes to this, there has to be a firm setting down of the feet. And when I say insane, you're never going to be able to out crazy the left, because they've actually created a haven for people who are clinically insane. Ill.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you think about some of the things that they have become enablers of, the kind of worldviews and even biological views, all that stuff. They have become enablers of clinical illness. I mean, we're talking about people who could be diagnosed multiple conditions here. And I'm not saying that people who vote opposite of what Democrats would vote don't have any problems of their own. But they have become a haven for this stuff. So you can't out crazy them. What you can do, though, is just create that contrast. You will not go past a certain point. You will send all of your children to school. Let the cops show up to school every day and try to arrest 500 kids.
Right.
That's what should happen. The children will actually feel really, really. It'll be exciting. If you're getting if you're getting in trouble with a whole bunch of other people, and you know it's totally you're doing something huge and important. That's what needs to be happening here.
And if you have righteous.
Because what are they going to do? Close down school? Good. Then you're even bigger heroes. You got the day off from school.
Yeah, congrats, guys.
Just don't. You can't. I mean, me. I mean, I don't have to think about school for another couple of years. But it's already in the cards. There's no way Aurora is ever going to go to a New York school, public or private. I don't know what I can arrange outside of that. But even private schools are going to have certain criteria that need to be. Oh, yeah. And they still have to abide by state laws for one thing or another that I'm not too keen on. So I don't know. But in places like where you're at, oh, man, when you know that you've got some support. Go and flex some muscle, yep. Man. It's just like I said before. If you've got majorities in places like Utah, why are you sending Mitt Romney to the Senate?
Yeah, agreed.
For 6 years. What the hell are you doing with your consent?
Yeah. People need to – this is the thing. We just have to talk to people, because I think to end off today, the most important thing is that, you know, once I was done with the conversation with the guy who said we shouldn't use the word activist and we're kind of just more about the status quo, and I explained to him like – we can't keep doing that. We need a critical mass of people awake, aware and involved. And look at how many people are here at Reorg now. They're all ready to start doing the right thing and have a backbone and not cave and not cower. What happened? He said, yeah, I'll do it too. That's what we need to do. We need to make people that are less excited about having to do something brave, excited about doing something brave because they feel supported by a bunch of other people around them. And that's when change happens.
Yep.
So until Monday, folks. Oh, real quick before we end the show. There has been a delay in the show going up on Apple Podcast. There is some sort of internal thing that Apple Podcast is doing that's causing this. So it's out of our control, sadly, but it does get up there. It's just not usually on time. So if you're an Apple Podcast listener, understand that the podcast does come out at some point on the day it's supposed to. It just doesn't come out when it is supposed to be published for some reason. I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
So you have been listening to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.